Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts, members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op, and your host, Danny Milliken.
Hour number two, Home Show Garden Pros. If you're listening to this live, we're glad you're here. We're going to keep the ball rolling with great questions and great advice coming from Anita Nelson and myself. And if you know, if you're listening to podcasts, it's the hour number two. We're glad that you've downloaded. Please just hit the download all button, and then we'll get all the credit for all the listens. You don't have to listen; just click on there. That's it. You know, so listen.
But you
live.
Should listen. You'll learn something.
Absolutely, absolutely. But we want to hear from you. 281-496-5711. 281-496-5711. I've had some good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the questions have been kind of the sort of thing that we expect to get this time of year, especially lawn stuff. Kind of Charles bringing up sod webworms, and to me, those are almost like the level one threat for the lawn. You know, they're kind of they come, they go, they eat. If you're out in your lawn. The adage, right? That adage that
well,
I love so much.
What causes them? Do you remember 2 years ago, Houston was just swarming sod webworm. And what causes that?
It's just a kind of a traveling pest. You know, the moths, all the caterpillar moth sort of things, it could be, you know, bagworms, forest tent caterpillars, whatever. They usually are just like a roving nuisance. You know what I mean? They travel around. And so – you think about the life cycle is pretty short, caterpillar to moth, moth travels, lays more eggs, dies, continues, you know, that kind of cycle. And so it really is kind of just like luck of the draw.
Remember last year there was a lot of the tent caterpillars.
Right.
I have not seen them as much this year.
And they're just a traveling thing.
Uh-huh.
Someone else has them just as bad somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Else.
And so with sod webworms – there's the adage out there, and this is one of those adages that if you can spend time in your garden, spend time in your lawn, you absolutely will have more success gardening.
Yeah, the best – what do they say? The shadow?
The single best thing you can add to your garden.
Your garden is your shadow.
And yeah. I would say that's true for your lawn too.
Uh-huh.
If it's kicking the ball with your kids, if it's just walking around when you're on a Zoom call, you know, whatever it is these days, get out there because then you notice the sort of things that Charles noticed.
Yes.
You notice the little moths.
Yes, you do.
So, quick gear change. We got a full board filling up and want to be able to answer some questions. But what's happening at Nelson's right now? What are you guys – you gearing up for fall? You kind of settling into summer?
Settling into summer is more like it. We still have pottery for sale and our ding-dang sale.
Okay, nice.
At the end of August, our seed, the 2020 crop of seed will be coming in.
Oh,
so
cool.
It'll be brand new seed.
Ooh.
So the seed we have now is on sale at 30% off.
Oh, wow. But that's still good seed.
It's still good seed. Yeah. Down here in the South where it's humid, your seed will stay viable for several years.
Right.
So if you want to stock up on seed, go to your local nurseries. I'm sure the other nurseries also probably have their seeds on sale. And stock up on them.
I'm working really hard. I, you know, lost my garden mojo for a little while. You know how that is. We've talked about that.
I sure do know that.
Especially the veggie bed one, seed starting, all that stuff. Really kind of had a hard time keeping up with it. And then I looked at my seeds and all of them are from like 2015 and 16. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And those seeds, you really can't expect that to be a viable seed anymore.
Yeah.
So basically when you do buy seed packs, be aggressive.
Yes.
Try to use them all. You know what I mean? Like use them all every single year. You'll get better production. And you won't waste some stuff. And, you know, think about it. That may seem like waste, but that's waste that's going toward production.
That's how Mother Nature does it. She throws out all the seed, and not all those seeds are going to turn into viable plants.
Absolutely.
And so that's why you plant your garden, and you're supposed to thin out your seeds because you want to pull out the weaklings and get the stronger ones to go. That's nature's way, and copying nature is always going to be more successful.
That's absolutely right. Mother Nature wants you to garden. Okay, Chuck. You are on Home Show Garden Pros. What's your question for Anita?
Speaking of seeds, I've planted some for years and years. I've always planted okra. When it gets hot this time of year.
Yeah.
After everything else has kind of petered out. So, and I've always used like Clemson spineless okra.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, I would save my. I was tired of picking, or you get a frost or whatever. I'd harvest I'd harvest seed off a few of those leftover dried out pods and then use it the next year. And I always was real successful with that. Now, I was going to try to, I thought, well, let me try a different variety. Let me try emerald okra. But do I not want to plant them side by side? Am I going to cross-pollinate and end up with an untrue variety? Or would it matter?
I don't think it would matter, and you may end up with some new variety that you could patent and become
rich. Well, that's what I wonder. Am I going to have the next All-American section or whatever?
Yes. Probably, maybe.
But it wouldn't hurt to plant two varieties side by side, you don't think?
From a production standpoint it will be helpful. You'll get more kind of fully pollinated flowers. From a seed collection standpoint, it's – you know, a little more risky.
Yeah, you'll get hybrids for sure.
And so if you don't like the emerald, I mean, I have had the situation, Chuck, where I planted okra and it turned out it was like very spiny. The okra, if I didn't pick it at 2 inches, there was no, you know, like the great thing about Clemland spinus or even like Burgundy is that, you know, if you're in the process of picking a lot, even a 4-inch okra can still be pretty good, right? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so like this one was always spiny and it got stiff real quick. And so
you're
I didn't want
to
grow.
The emerald? You're referring to the emerald?
No, not the emerald specifically. I don't remember what variety it is. But it's kind of like until you've got experience with the variety. But at the same time, like if the worst thing happens and you got to buy a pack of the worst thing out of this is that you buy a pack of Clemson spineless again. So I say go for it.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, and Chuck, call us back and let us know how the emerald okra is.
Yeah,
I will do that. I certainly will. Oh, I tell you what, I was going to tell you a while back. I called you guys about you know, I can never grow the. We talked about the yellow squash and the zucchini and the squash bugs or whatever. Mm. Well, and you mentioned something about other varieties. So what I've planted, and it's not mature yet, but it's a winter squash called Trombencino.
Yeah, I love those, man.
Okay, and so it's, you know, I've got several. I don't know. It's growing up a trellis and.
Have you got,
It's not producing yet, but I'll have to let you guys know how it turns out.
Well, do you know what you're expecting fruit wise?
Well, I know that what I want to do is pick them when they're immature. You know, it's a winter squash, but I'm harvesting it and trying to consume it as a summer. You know, is what I'm trying to do.
That's
correct.
Awesome. So, well, they're awesome squashes. They can get up to 3 feet long. Squashes themselves, yeah. But no, they're a wonderful squash. So. They'll grow fast once you get them. But, yeah, it just takes a little while for the plant to kind of kick in gear. If I can recommend Red Nuri, N-U-R-I, as an excellent sort of the same approach. It kind of makes a tweener winter-summer squash. But if you get it when it's baseball to softball size, pick it then. It's an excellent yellow squash replacement.
Okay. I'll look into that one, too.
Well, thanks, Chuck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And do let us know the outcome of the emerald okra trial. So. Anita Nelson here, Danny Milliken here. We are Home Show Garden Pros, talking gardening, 281-496-5711.
Your outside family needs love too. Show you care with MicroLife fertilizers. Add a second round of MicroLife 624 and Humates Plus to grow healthier lawns, beautiful flowers, and more nutritious vegetables naturally. When the heat is on, add MicroLife Liquid Organics to both cool and feed your plants. MicroLife fertilizers deliver the highest nutritional value possible while safe for you, your children, and pets. MicroLife fertilizers, available at your friendly neighborhood garden centers. MicroLifeFertilizer.com.
Healthy trees add beauty and reduce cooling costs while increasing the value of your home if they're healthy. Protect your home with ArborTrue science-based tree care. From soil analysis, disease control, to insect infestations, trust the internationally certified ArborTrue arborist to feed, prune, and overall make your trees thrive. Easy removal of dead branches, sick trees, and stumps, too. Save your trees and protect your home with science-based tree care, ArborTrue. Get a free estimate at ArborTrue.com.
The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help you be a better gardener with tips from pros you can trust. Members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
Hi, it's Anita Nelson from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy.
Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons in Northwest Houston.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now, 281-496-5711.
Home Show Garden Pros, and we're back. Sports Radio 610 here talking gardening. Just had a great moment to, you know, chat a little bit about okra, and it does remind me that, Anita, there's a lot of like pressing things in the garden you got to do. One of those is taking out your tomatoes.
Yes.
Unless you've got some other reason to take your tomatoes out. I had 5 tomatoes. I took 4 of them out. Mm-hmm. One is still producing. It's this little carbon black cherry tomato. It's definitely slowed down production, but it's producing. But the rest have come out. And, man, I discovered root rot nematodes at the bottom of them.
Yeah.
Which is why I could never get a fall harvest. Mm-hmm. I will never get a fall harvest, basically, because of those.
I wonder if you can buy those nematode killers.
Yeah.
You probably could. I mean, we sell them, but in the spring, not in the fall.
Yeah, I would have to do them in the spring.
Yes.
And then retreat again to maintain.
No, they live in the lawn for a year.
Yeah, okay, so they live in there
yes.
for a year.
Yes.
And so they maybe would protect.
They would may eat up all those nematodes and you might.
And so ahead. That's the way, in my mind, if you're a person that's like, man, I wish I could just grow my tomatoes all mm-hmm. the way through the year,
yeah.
you just have to control the nematodes
yes.
and you can do it.
To me, it's a pain, though, to do it because they come in this packet with vermiculite.
Yeah.
So you have to strain them out of the vermiculite and you have to put them in. I guess you could use regular water, but I always use distilled water because I didn't want the chlorine to kill
sure.
the nematodes.
Which you might, or the fluorine.
So it's a lot of work to
right.
do it. And then you put it in your hose, your sprayer, your pump-up spray, and you go out and you do it. But then you're done
okay.
for a year.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do it next year because mm-hmm. I just have this, like, it can happen.
Yes.
Where I have this awesome tomato yeah. crop, and then I get to transition yeah. to, you know, a fall crop and not new plants, big, huge plants. Anyway, it's a dream, okay? But tell me about your daughter in Baton Rouge. She
yeah.
didn't pull out her tomatoes.
My daughter in Baton Rouge, who's visiting now, did not pull out her tomatoes because they're full of bugs and they're full of tomato hornworms, and they're feeding her cardinal families.
Okay.
She has 2 cardinal families, and she can watch them go into those yucky-looking tomato shrubs. They look horrible, but nobody can see them except her.
Sure.
And get their fill of worms and bugs, especially the worms for the baby
That's
cardinals.
Awesome. So this is just one of those points that it's like, you can leave your tomatoes if you have a good reason.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And that's a good reason.
And the other great moral of that story mm-hmm. is that birds are very good in your vegetable garden.
They are.
They just, you don't want thirsty birds.
Yes.
You've played the app out there, Angry Birds. Well, in the garden, thirsty birds are the bad thing.
Yes.
They're not after, they're drinking your tomatoes. That's what they do.
And we just got a shipment of bird baths in.
There you go.
We sold every one we had this spring, and so we brought in a whole bunch of ones. But a bird bath is a good thing to have.
A bird bath is like one of those automatic solutions to gardening success.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a bird bath. Okay. 281-496-5711. Matt, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Anita, Danny, good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Matt. Good to hear from you.
Good to speak with you, Danny. Your Juliet grape, are they still producing heavily?
Not heavily. I got like 4 more when I took the plant out. But I'm telling you, I put some pictures on Instagram about these root knot nematodes.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the roots were just crazy. They were crazy infected. So are yours still going?
Oh, the one Juliet plant. This year, I thought I spaced it from the Sweet Chelsea far enough. It's a jungle there. It's a jungle.
Yeah.
And Danny, I don't know how many. You can't count them. But hundreds upon hundreds of Juliet grapes produced this year, and they're unbelievable.
Yeah, my daughter Mary, same thing. Her Juliet is still producing.
Yeah, I love that plant.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and I had a conversation in February, I think,
yes.
about tomato varieties, and you know, he had some he recommended, and I had great success and very pleased with my production on is it Celebrity, Matt, that
I had one Celebrity plant and one Better Boy, and they're tired now.
No, sure, yeah.
Very tired. You were talking a moment ago about pulling them, and even if they do ripen, the top where the stem is, it's brown in color,
and
they're kind of mushy, so it's not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
When you do pull them out, look at the roots and see if they, like, have knots in them, and that's a good sign that, you know, maybe you're having to deal with those nematodes also.
Yeah, I think so, Danny. And, Danny, the worms, Anita was talking, We have a pair of cardinals. They go crazy in there. They mm-hmm. go nuts in there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's awesome. And one more thing. We had wrens, bird wrens, roost, and they love the worms for their babies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, amazing. Well, that's about all I have. My Asian cucumbers are doing very well, and that's my update.
Well, Matt, what do you do for the squash borer, the vine borer for the squashes, for those cucumbers?
I haven't seen them yet. Well, explain those to me. How they affect cucumbers.
I think cucumbers are one of the last crops they go after, but if there's nothing else there, they're another little like moth. They lay a little caterpillar. It gets in the vine and basically like decomposes it from the inside, and so it ends up killing things. So some plants are really, really like yellow squash is really susceptible to them. But if you're not seeing them, you probably just don't have them because you've got a good variety.
When you do see those little black BBs on leaves of either tomatoes or cucumbers, that's a moth that has laid eggs, correct, on the leaves?
Probably not. If they're not moving BBs, it's a fungal spore, a huge one called bird's nest fungus. If they jump and move, then it's another thing called flea beetles.
And it could be poop.
Oh, it could be caterpillar poop, yeah.
It might be poop.
If you got a lot of caterpillars, you probably got a lot of caterpillar poop on there, so that's true. Nice.
Oh, it's a pleasure to speak with you. You all be careful and stay safe, all right?
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There really are so many little things that something could be. If it moves, though, if it moves, it's
not poop.
Yeah. Let's hope. Let's hope. 281-496-5711. We're answer your gardening questions, and we're going to keep doing this. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
Now, back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Hi, this is Zach from Buchanan's Native Plants in the Heights. This week, we're highlighting drought-tolerant plants. It's hot out there. We haven't had any rain. Add some drought-tolerant natives to your landscape. Our native of the week this week is kidneywood tree. It's a great drought-tolerant native that is a small, ornamental flowering tree. Come check it out. Also, we've got fall tomatoes in stock. It's a little early, but we've got them. Get them started now in the shade so you can have a head start come fall. Is your lawn stressed? Now's a great time to do a compost top dressing or liquid compost to help ease the stress of our summer heat on your lawn. We're open every day, 10 to 5, for in-store shopping. We're also offering curbside pickup and delivery on phone orders. Give us a call at 713-861-5702. We're located in the Heights at 611 East 11th Street. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook for all the latest. And now back to Anita and Danny.
281-496-5711. Yeah, Buchanan's a really great spot in there, Heights. Really mm-hmm. cool spot. And, you know, if you do follow us on Instagram, you kind of end up following all of the Home Show Garden Pros that are on Instagram because we're all kind of like teaming to get the word out together. So mm-hmm. 281-496-5711. We want to hear from you. And so we just let you ask us your question, and we love to chat with you about it. And Carol, you're our questioner of the moment. What's your question for Anita?
Yes, good morning. This is, I'm a first-time caller. I am a novice gardener. But
Carol, we're so happy that you called.
We really are.
Well, thank you for listening to me. I have a particular problem in my yard. I have a mature fig tree, and I have a red maple that's about 5-6 years old. And just about 4 weeks ago, I noticed this white and green splatter mold going all the way up from the trunk to into the limbs and this It looked like lettuce attached to the limbs, and I was using a kitchen knife and scraping them off, and somebody said, well, you need to spray the tree with soap and water. And then somebody told me to use some fungicide, and then I went and bought a bottle of fungicide with copper, and I, right where the fig tree is, I have two dogs that are in that yard, and I'm kind of scared to use it because it said that it's highly, you know, poisonous to animals. But now with this red maple, it's splattered all the way up from the bottom to the top, and I've got a dead limb. And so now I'm noticing that certain plants in my yard, including a rose bush, which is almost dead now from this white fungus, this powdery fungus, and I don't know what I need to use to spray.
To me, I think you've probably got some compaction problems in your soil. And I know that sounds a little out of nowhere, Carol, because you've got all these stem and trunk problems. But when we see multiple fungi and lichen and things like that kind of start to dominate, it usually points back to general unhealth. And so all of us have compaction. It's a chronic problem happening in cities. You with me? And so our most important step is to improve the soil. But that's pretty simple through compost top dressing. Dealing with the lichen on your leaves.
They're not on the leaves, they're on the trunk, the limb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the limbs.
Yeah, being wary of the fungicide is a good move. That you do want to be wary of that because you may not actually be dealing with fungus. You know what I mean? You may be dealing with something else, and fungicide then won't solve your problem, but it will hurt your soil.
Oh, gosh, Lee, I didn't even know.
No, right. That's the tough thing about it is that, you know, you go a lot of places and if they're not experts, then, you know, they want to help you, of course, but their help may not be that great. And so we really always encourage people to go to our co-op locations because they really do know their stuff. Places like Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens or Enchanted Forest, all the long list. HomeshowGardenPros.com is a great place to go. And if you can send some pictures to my email address on there, HomeshowGardenPros.com, ask a pro. But Anita, what's your thought on Carol's approach?
I've seen trees do that, get that white fuzz going up. In fact, it happened to my neighbor. He had an older tree, and I told him we put a big ring of compost around it, and that tree did recover from it.
Right.
And it was a pretty, pretty sad-looking tree. But the lichen is a whole different issue. It is not related to that fungus, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. The lichen is probably kind of just showing up
it's
in the moment. You know, maybe the tree is struggling, so it's opened. It's kind of defensive, have fallen down a little bit, so mm-hmm. the lichen found a place to land. And your friend who recommended soap actually recommended a pretty awesome result. So the detergent element that's in soap kind of can suck some of the water out of the lichen or damage its receiving capabilities. And so that would probably work better on the lichen than the fungi would. We've had pretty good results with lichen with baking soda for that exact same reason, the sort of water reducing quality.
Well, I was just mixing up a pump sprayer with some Dawn dish soap, and I used 1 gallon, and then I put maybe a couple of, you know, squirts in it, and then I sprayed away, and I'm thinking, okay, now is this going to work?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I was taking a kitchen knife and I was scraping it off because my mother-in-law says that's going to sap all the nutrients out of the tree. But at least the leaves are all looking good.
Yeah.
But it's in and I'm thinking, here it is, that the fig tree is struggling with all this stuff going up the trunk and into the limbs. And then when I looked at the red maple we have in our front yard, which gets the west sun, I had told my husband, I said, look, you know, he got a limb dead. And I said, he got all this going up into the tree. And, but he said, well, don't be spraying it with any fungicide, you know, because I'm really leery that you might, you know, kill my tree. Because
right.
I said, well, I don't know what to use, you know. And he said, well, it's just nature. And I said, don't want to lose the tree.
So, Carol, I don't disagree that it is just nature, but the single best thing you can do is improve the soil. Hear me now.
I just scrape it out? I mean, just so I just pull everything away and then just get a couple of bags of compost?
No, don't pull things away.
Just top dress with compost, about an inch around the whole canopy, so everywhere underneath leaves. Nature's Way Resources.
Simple. You can use your hands and just broadcast it all around the tree. You don't have to even get a spreader if you don't want to.
But so the compaction problem is what we got to overcome. Mm-hmm. So the lichen is probably not like sucking the life out of the tree. It's probably just growing in the bark and is able to stay there. Like that's what ball moss does. You know, it just kind of sits on the tree. It's not sucking the life out of the tree. And a lot of times dead branches are more attractive because they've got more pores and lichen grows on those more easily. So the best thing you can do, gather good information. We're happy to help. I want you to send me pictures either on Facebook or through the website. But at the same time, number one step, improve that soil. So that's their number one step, and compost is your best way. Nature's Way Resources is sold all over the city, and you can go to their website, naturewayresources.com, and see
Nature's
the location.
Nature's Resources?
Nature's Way Resources.
Nature's Way. Yeah.
Resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's an incredible company, good people, but they're making just phenomenally excellent compost.
And as I said, my neighbor, they had a tree. It was pretty bad. And it had that white fungus growing up the sides of the trunk, just like you explained. And we did that broadcast all around that tree. This was 20 years ago. And that tree is still there. And he didn't believe me either, but he believes me now. He listens to me now.
Well, I chalked it up to rain that we got like maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. We had like 6 inches. And I thought, well, okay, you know, now here's the humidity and it's just a hotbed for all the kind of fungus and stuff going up into the trees. And so when my fig tree was starting to produce the fruit and I was going out picking, and I'm like, okay, now what is all this going up the trunk? And when I was talking to my neighbors, I was talking to my family, no, don't spray it. Use soap. And so that's what I did. And I was practically giving it a bath with the soap, thinking this is going to get rid of it. But I had no clue that I would have to, you know, use compost to
take care of it. I think a lot of times, and this, Carol, will ring true in all of life, is that you look at a problem and usually it's a symptom of another problem. You know, that could be society, it could be health, it could be plants. In this case, that's what we're looking. We're looking at compaction. Carol, we're up against the break. I really appreciate your time this morning and choosing to call us and, you know, stay in the loop. We're here to help.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Great question. And man, it can be very stressful to see these things happen to our plants. And, you know, that red maple is a wonderful plant and it, you know, no one wants to see struggling. And hey, I love figs. So 281-496-5711. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Get your green on at Plants for All Seasons. From perennials and annuals to ground cover and grasses, their hand-chosen plants are second only to their support. Get even greener. Plants for All Seasons gardening classes are a fun way to learn something new for everyone, from beginning or master gardeners. Plants for All Seasons, 21328 Highway 249, just north of Louetta, and online at plantsforallseasons.com.
What loves Houston heat, is easy to grow, and has a short season? Bush green beans. A tasty tip to grow on from the Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
That's 281-496-5711. This is Home Show Garden Pros. And we got the opportunity to talk to John Ferguson from Nature's Way Resources. John is a wizard when it comes to soils and composts and all that stuff. Hey, how are you, John?
I'm doing great. Danny, yourself?
I'm doing really great. I got to tell you, thank you. Nature's Way Remineralizer has been such a wonderful kind of new tool for me to use. And I'm just wondering if we could talk a little bit more about the stuff that's in it.
Sure.
So it's got three major ingredients.
It's got all 79 elements found in the human body.
Wow.
So, and we've got 700 human health problems caused or aggravated by trace element micronutrient deficiencies. So it's got all 79 of those elements in it. And sometimes we speak in terms of mineral, but for example, there's 1,000 minerals that have calcium.
Hmm.
but you only get one element of calcium. This has all 79 elements in it. It's a mixture of green sand, basalt sand, and granite sand.
And you combine those three. Those are all Texas-sourced.
Correct. They're all Texas-sourced, so there's less, you know, greenhouse gases. In fact, most of them are local to Houston. It just saves a lot of energy and air pollution in getting them here. And it's also much cheaper than competing products, about 5 to 1 times cheaper.
That's incredible.
Remineralizer, it helps build the organic matter content of your soils much quicker. And that's important, particularly like in the summer, humus can hold 15 times its weight in water. So as we increase the organic matter, our plants just need less water and they're healthier.
I love learning more and more about why this remineralizer works so incredibly because I keep seeing the results. So appreciate you taking time to explain that to me. If people want to do a little bit more research, they can go to your website, naturewayresources.com. And any last thoughts on this awesome remineralizer product?
No, there's a handout on the website. It really goes into more detail of all the benefits it provides. I've got to where I don't plant anything if I don't throw a handful in the bottom of the planting hole. And it's just now part of my regular routine on everything I do.
Me too. It's the latest thing that I have to keep some of all times on hand. So thanks for making it, man.
All right, Danny. Take care.
Thanks, John. That was really informative. Our next caller is Bill. Bill, what's your question?
I have, I'm looking for some guidelines on pruning a live oak, and also have some problem with the roots. And the live oak, the trees are about 25 foot high, the same as my next door neighbor's. He was selling his house, and he had a drastic pruning. There's no leaves for the first 12 foot, and then the branches extend upward. It shows off the house beautifully, but it just looks like a lot too much pruning is taking place. Mine is down to about 6 foot. I have to trim the lower branches just to walk under the tree. So there must be a better way of going about this. Maybe he's done the right thing, and I've never seen a tree pruned to that extent. What's the guideline for pruning a live oak?
Well, live oaks are pretty tough, and I've seen them get some pretty tough pruning, and they still survive. That's one thing to know. Okay. And I guess he's created more of a lollipop kind of tree, right?
No. I see some of the neighbors cut that way, and it's not a bad appearance, but it just looks like it was drastically pruned.
Yeah, and it is drastically pruned. You're talking about like a dome. It's like a dome, and just the outside leaves are there. There's nothing on the inside, and they kept kind of the big branches, but they cleared it up. So, you know, when a little kid draws a tree, right, sometimes they make it kind of bushy on top and sometimes they make it a spike.
Oh, so it has a lot of naked branches underneath. Is that what you're saying?
It's more like a spiral, yeah.
Yeah, and so, Bill, we're going to say that that pruning probably did help the house sales because you can see the house a little bit better, but that is not how a live oak wants to grow. These are sprawling giant shrubs, in a sense. Now, you know, if you're having a hard time and it's lowering your quality of life to duck these trees and to, you know, deal with the branches, you know, you can do a small amount of pruning. But as far as a mass pruning, there's a couple of realities that we have to face when it comes to live oaks. One has to do with the interior leaves.
Yeah, the interior leaves actually are there for a reason. They're there when it's hot like this. Because when it's super hot, the outer leaves stop photosynthesizing, which is making food for the tree. And the inner leaves, which are cooler, take over. So when these people go in and prune out the interior of the tree, they're actually weakening it.
The dead wood is okay to take out, I assume.
Well, yes. You know what's funny is that is a safe assumption, but at the same time, there's a lot of bird species that love roosting in spaces with dead wood. So I mean, if you have a lot, if I'm dealing with any tree that I can't prune with my regular ladder, right? Like I can no longer get up there and do the pruning with my ladder, I'm calling Arbortrum, and they can come out and check it out. They can talk with me about the problem even before they get there, and all of those stages are free. You know what I mean? Getting an estimate, explaining the problem, if you even need them. They don't want to come do work that they don't need to do. They're busy. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm calling Arbortrum. If I've got a 25-foot tree, you know, that's a several thousand-dollar plant. That's your, like, $10,000 plant you got. And so, you know, even if you end up spending a couple hundred bucks on a consultation to learn from them, that's better than losing losing, making that $10,000 tree a, you know, a commodity.
Yeah. How about the roots? The roots now, they're, I'm wondering whether it's lack of water, but their roots are coming, extending like 6 foot out from the trunk above the surface of the ground.
Compaction.
Yeah, you're dealing with compaction. I mean, that's a pretty overcomable deal.
Yep.
Compost top dressing.
And the compost top dressing, yes. That's really all you need to do.
Do I need to drill holes to do the compost top dressing?
You know, we did that at Herman Park and Memorial Park. We called vertical mulching, drill a hole, put a bunch of compost in there. My feeling is no, you don't have to go through that work. You know, putting down an inch under the whole canopy of the tree is going to end up getting kind of integrated into the soil. But if you can imagine the soil's, you know, shrunk, if you will, about a quarter of an inch, and then some of it eroded another quarter of an inch, how much a difference half-inch exposure of those roots looks, right? It's like a huge amount of appearance. And so that's just what's happening is those roots aren't necessarily coming to the top. The soil is just going down and away. And so we can build that soil back up by adding compost.
Okay, excellent. Good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome, Bill.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I again, just, you know, it's like if I'm dealing with a large tree, I want a certified master arborist, and I'm calling ArborTrue, and that's just what I'm doing. So, but I have great, great memories of playing in live oak trees because the limb would come down to the ground.
Yeah, I love it when they do that. But,
but that's what they want to do.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that in a lawn when you've got two of them, like a lot of the suburbs have.
But they make them all into lollipops. I drive past the school every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I drove by, and I was horrified. They have these live oaks growing out in the fields. There's nothing around them. There was no reason to prune off all those lower branches, and they would have made great places for children to play and develop their imaginations.
Just like highlight that element.
Yes.
Make it a playground. That's so cool. Yeah.
But no, gone.
That would have been cool. Sad stuff. Sad stuff. Home Show Garden Pros, we are talking through gardening, helping you out, answering your questions. Chris, we're definitely getting you when you get back from this quick break. 281-496-5711.
Juicy watermelon, eggplants, peppers, okra, squash, all taste better when you grow your own. Get your summer garden growing with a visit to Wabash Feed and Garden. Hi, I'm Betty, inviting you to visit a bit of the country in the heart of the city. Find out what you need at Wabash. Organic compost, fertilizers, healthy starter plants, and answers to your summer gardening questions. Wabash Feed and Garden on Shepherd, just north of 610. Look for the big rooster and make sure to mention that you heard about us on Home Show Garden Pros.
Now back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
This is Diane Bulanowski from Warren Southern Gardens in beautiful Kingwood. And Kingwood Garden Center is your destination to create a beautiful and peaceful, tranquil backyard oasis. Keep it cool inside with some of our cool new house plants. Check out our new arrivals in Warren Southern Gardens Greenhouse and at Kingwood Garden Center. We have just a beautiful plant to cheer up your indoor space. Also, gingers, hibiscus, bougainvillea, and lots of tropical plants. Don't forget to feed the butterflies. We've got lots of beautiful host plants, native Texas plants, and plants for pollinators that are Texas tough and flame-proof. We also do custom plantings to beautify your backyard and patio. Check out our great selection of herbs, basil, rosemary, lavender, thyme. Lots of great things that you can use for your backyard barbecue. Warren Southern Gardens and Kingwood Garden Center are open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5:30 and on Sunday from 10 to 5. Warren Southern Gardens is located at 1675 North Park Drive in Kingwood, and Kingwood Garden Center is at 5216 Stone Hollow Drive in beautiful Kingwood. And now back to your gardening questions with Anita and Danny.
That is right, answering questions, and we're going to go straight to Chris. Chris, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Hey, Chris.
I have a question. We always sit outside, and I hate mosquitoes just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I put a whole bunch of, in about a 15-foot radius circle surrounded with rocks, of lavender plants, and they grow up in a stem, you know, about 2.5 feet tall, and then it has a little flower on top. But when the flower blooms, it only like about a quarter of an inch of it, of the top, actually turns purple. I mean, am I doing something wrong, or is it just harder to grow down here?
Well, first of all, I am so impressed.
It is hard to grow down here.
Yes, it's so hard to grow down here. And secondly, is it really working?
Oh, yeah. I have no mosquitoes in my backyard.
Wow.
I mean,
that is
nothing.
The coolest thing ever. And, yeah, I think it probably is.
Okay, because I don't know what else to try. Because, I mean, I've seen it on TV where you look at the little mm-hmm. six-inch flower and it's all purple.
It could
but
be
I can't get it.
The variety that you have. Have you tried using our favorite fertilizer, Microlife?
No, I have not. No, I have not.
Oh, give that a try and some seaweed and see what happens.
Okay, what did you call that again?
The Microlife. I would use their Max Bloom liquid. Mm-hmm. And you could either spray the plants or probably a drench would be better. And then I'd also fertilize it with their 8. They have the 624, which is the green bag, and then the blue bag is
846.
846, ultimate. Yep, that's what I use on all my flowers. I use the ultimate, and then I use Max Blooms. I love growing flowers. That's my thing.
Do you think they need a lot of water or
no,
not a lot of water?
No, lavender. Anything with gray foliage, they're mm-hmm. telling you we like it hot and dry, and so
okay.
that's why I'm so impressed because. Our climate here is hot, but it's not dry. And that's one of the reasons why we have trouble growing lavender. Out where I live in Brookshire Patterson, the air is starting to get drier, less humid. And the further mm-hmm. west you go, you'll see more and more lavender growing. Mm-hmm. But in Houston, it's tough, so I'm very impressed.
Yeah, well, I thought I was doing something wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm in spring, but, mm-hmm. I mean, I just can't get that whole flower to bloom. It just blooms about maybe of a quarter of an inch purple, you know, on the end. And of course, it looks great. I just why is it not the flower, the whole thing? But they look, you know, all standing up like 2.5-3 foot tall.
It's pretty incredible. This is one of those, like, don't look a gift horse in the mouth sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go too crazy trying to fix that one problem because
yes.
a lot of people are just struggling growing lavender at all. So
yeah.
okay. keep that
well,
in mind.
Now, I mean, yeah. hey, I can smell it, and like I say, I have no mosquitoes. You know,
see,
in the backyard at all.
You're a winner. You know what I mean? That's you got the big W. So don't,
I'm going to give this a try.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
Yeah. So don't.
Okay.
You know.
Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Y'all have a good show.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye.
It is interesting the humidity factor.
Yes.
With those kind of gray or fuzzy foliage.
It's tough.
Yeah. Or like real lacy stuff.
You know, I think one reason why he's successful is the gravel, he said, and
yeah.
the rocks. Because it creates kind of a little microclimate anywhere where there's rock, it dries the air out.
Right.
And I think
what
that's
sucks water up,
mm-hmm.
to, I mean, from the air. No,
mm-hmm.
you're absolutely right. The bottom, where you usually get the fungal problem. Splashing up from the soil,
yeah.
humidity, you not having. So nice work, Chris. 281-496-5711. We're just moving along, answering your gardening question. But to push flowers on anything, that Maximum Bloom is a great, great product. So good thinking. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. We'll be back in a moment.
Let your senses transport you to a peaceful hideaway where beauty and tranquility are waiting for you. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping in Richmond. Striking display gardens, plants, shrubs, and trees accompanied by the sights and sounds of fountains, chimes, and whimsical garden art. Enchanted Forest on FM 2759 and Enchanted Gardens on FM 359. For three generations, family owned, family run. Sharing their gardening passions, helping you find yours. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping. Discover them online at myenchanted.com.
We believe gardening should be fun. The Home Show Garden Pros are here for you with advice and everything you need to be a better gardener.
ArborTrue Tree Service, science-based tree care. Mike Ball Irrigation Landscaping and Lighting, putting the wow back in your yard. Southwest Fertilizer, quality lawn and garden supplies since 1955.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 281-496-5711.
Home Show Garden Pros, we are answering gardening questions, dishing out great gardening information. We answer your garden questions on the show, you know, 281-496-5711. Do always want to point to other great places of learning. One of those is OBA, a very close friend of the show, the Organic Horticulture Benefits Alliance. And we have a webinar coming up this Thursday at 5 p.m. David Steinbrenner owns Wild Roots, which breeds mycorrhizal fungi, which are very important in your soil. These are the ones that help the plants. Mycorrhizal means root fungus, so they work with the roots to extend the roots' power. So he's going to be teaching all about those. Go to OBA's Facebook page to learn more. OBA. Their website also, obaonline.org. Pretty cool. Also, Mercer Arboretum. Really cool arboretum, educational place. Botanic Gardens and Arboretum just does a great job. And they're having their online plant sale right now. So that's going on. Mercer Arboretum. Just Google them. You'll get to their website. That'll be the first thing on there. Really a great organization. Great people up there. Do a ton of educating. So we love them too. And, you know, everybody's really working really hard to do a bunch of education. Urban Harvest is working hard to make sure really cool things are happening. They just had a how to grow grapes thing that was really, really cool. And you can grow grapes in Houston if you choose the right varieties. So check out that webinar. Again, obaonline.org for that information. 281-496-5711. We're just talking gardening.
We are.
So we're going to keep that going. Rick, you're on Home Show Garden Pros. Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a question for you. Years ago, I had Appaloosa horses, and the place I had them stapled at, the lady that owned that place, she would give us sand and pine shavings to mix with our, when we cleaned that stall, we would put that in with hay and whatever. And in return, we had to take all the stuff out of the stalls and place them outside at a location, and she had a guy that would bring her two loads of sand, or a load of sand and a load of pine shavings for one load of the
horse manure,
you know, the horse manure, whatever. And she told us that was for the old boy would use that for rose gardens.
Yeah,
these roses. And looking online, I saw where they said, no, it's not a good idea.
So, Rick, so, I mean, if we're taking like a production compost viewpoint of this, you are making those four ingredients, horse manure, hay, pine shavings, and sand, would make a phenomenal compost. It just would need 6 months to age.
Right.
Planting directly into that is probably not advisable.
No, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, but if you can let it age for 6-8 months, especially with the stirring or two with a tractor, I think then you got something phenomenal that would be great for roses.
Okay, well, that's what I thought, but you know, I looked online and they said, no, it's not a good idea.
The problem is with online is, yeah, there is a lot of great information online, but also there's a lot of bad information online. You know what I mean? It's like people can say whatever. Someone forms their opinion, and you know, maybe there are some bad horses out there that are getting way too much medicine or antibiotics or whatever.
Right,
sure, we want to avoid that manure, but you know, if you know these horses and you know what they're eating, you know, I'd say mix it, give it 6 months, mix it again, give it another month, and then use it. That's what I say.
Well, that's what they'll do. They get there for long.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rick, you're breaking up a lot, and we can't hear you very well. But I have done a lot of trainings on compost stuff, and horse manure is an excellent ingredient for compost.
Yeah,
it by itself has the ratios you want, and so you add some other stuff to it to build up different populations, but it's really good stuff just by itself. So thanks so much for that call, Rick. It sounds like that you maybe got a good thing going. You just maybe want to give it a little bit more time. So I wouldn't worry about what they're saying online. If you can just give it some time, those microbes will eat each other, and they'll do that whole thing, that whole soil food web thing, and you will have some wonderful stuff about 6-8 months, somewhere in there.
And horse manure is better than cow manure.
Horse manure is great. Mm-hmm. Cow manure is real bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like horse manure is all the way better than cow manure. Don't use cow manure.
Yep.
Use horse manure. It's awesome. What's happening at Nelson?
Well, like I said, the seeds were on sale. It's hot, but people are still coming in, and they're still buying. Mostly flowers right now is what we're doing. A lot of people are putting in fountains because we're not going on vacation this year.
No, they're home more, yeah.
And we're creating backyard oases, so we're doing a lot of fountains, a lot of our disappearing fountains and pottery. The ding-dang sale is continuing. We have a lot of succulent pots, and succulents are real hot right now. So
They're hot. Yeah. I need to come up and check out the pottery. We've got a couple spots we're doing a little design with it. So.
Yeah, and we were talking at the beginning of the show about the Victoria lily.
Yeah.
We have one at the shop if you want to come actually see what we all were talking about, these big platter-like leaves. They're up to 4 feet in diameter now. They'll get up to about 5, maybe 6 if we're lucky this
year. That's so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Well, we're going to keep answering gardening questions. Sarah, we got you, and we're going to tackle your question after this quick break. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio at 610.
Are you ready to get back in the garden? Hi, it's Anita.
Get away by getting into your garden. Nelson's Nursery and Katie can help. Annuals and perennials, veggies and herbs, plus all you'll need to help them grow.
And be sure to check out our colorful and beautiful fountains.
Exotic disappearing water fountains in all shapes and sizes, and exotic fish for backyard ponds, plus one-of-a-kind pots direct imported by Nelson's. Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy. You can find them at nelsonwatergardens.com.
Healthy trees add beauty and reduce cooling costs while increasing the value of your home if they're healthy. Protect your home with ArborTrue science-based tree care. From soil analysis, disease control, to insect infestations, trust the internationally certified ArborTrue arborist to feed, prune, and overall make your trees thrive. Easy removal of dead branches, sick trees, and stumps, too. Save your trees and protect your home with science-based tree care, ArborTrue. Get a free estimate at ArborTrue.com.
How grows it with your veggies? Extend harvest time. Mulch your beds with pine straw. It's good for soil, too. You're listening to Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Great advice there. Do love pine straw as a mulch, especially for veggie beds.
Use it all the time.
Another thing that we use all the time is MicroLife. Anita and I both have brought it up. They have a large, long list of incredible products that they make. But in a nutshell, it's just like really, really wonderful material for soil. So we talk with Carol a little bit. We talk with a couple other folks that are dealing with problems. Chris, Bill's got his live oak tree, and we want to push the soil forward. So underneath your plants, diversity is huge. And so a great product like MicroLife that is using top-of-the-line foods for their material to feed the soil. In addition to that, a lot of times their products have living entities in them, like the ones that are the most productive or maybe ones that are native to the space but need to be increased. Like they have that in their base model, MicroLife 624, their multi-purpose, they have 12 types of fungi in there. Pretty incredible. Or maybe it's 12 types of living entities, but they like inoculated their product. It's so cool. A lot of the stuff that I recommend just on its own, alfalfa meal, molasses, fish fertilizer, seaweed, stuff like that, is in MicroLife. So just one of the ingredients in it. I love the bag because you can read the ingredients. They're not trying to trick you. They're not trying to fool you. They're not trying to convince you it's something that it's not. They have their ingredients right there on the bag. And you read it and you're like, huh, I know what these are. And so generally that means that it's safe. And that is something we want to do. We want to do something that's safe for our kids and our family. What's wonderful is you'll see healthier lawns, thriving flowers, and more nutritious vegetables. It really, really, really works. Anita, you've used MicroLife.
It really, really, really works. And when you put out the 624, like we put it on our nursery stock, and then it has all this white fuzz on it. And
you get it wet.
What is that? We're like, that's the MicroLife fungi inoculating your soil and making it healthier.
Right. Like that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sign. So it can't burn your plants. It can't hurt you, which is – they're two wonderful things, and it really, really works to make your plants actually healthier.
You just can't go wrong.
Yeah. It's wonderful stuff. You're absolutely right. So check out their whole line of materials or find out where they're sold. All the Home Show Garden Pros have them, but their website is microlifefertilizer.com. And we're just going to go straight to Sarah Sarah, thanks for holding for a while. Sarah, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Good morning. I just had a question about poison ivy and how to get rid of it. A lot of it.
A lot of it. Oh, goodness. Where is it growing?
Well, we live on 5 acres, and it's growing in the back half that we don't use too much, mainly because of the poison ivy. And then between us and our neighbor, it's growing on the fence.
Yeah.
And it's creeping into my yard.
I think there's a psychological factor with poison ivy. I'm highly allergic, so totally have that psychological factor. But
me too.
Trumpet vine, pepper vine, greenbrier, they're all really rascally to deal with because they store energy in their roots. And so there's a specific material, brush and vine killer, that's geared toward killing vines. And it's a pretty heavy-duty material. And so when I've done mass clearings of poison ivy, I'm not exaggerating, I got a painter's suit. So like a suit that's like geared to stop paint chemical from getting through it, and the same gloves of the same type. And I got out there and I cut a bunch away, stacked it up.
And don't burn it.
Did not burn it. Let it just stack and rot there. Mm-hmm. But then wherever I cut the big trunks, I dab this vine and brush killer on the vine. And that will end up killing the roots all the way down.
Okay.
And so that, and then you're not using very much because you're just dabbing the tops of the trunks that you've made, the stumps, to go full circle. So that's how I've been successful in it. But for me, there's a psychological element. But cutting it down and dabbing the vines is kind of what's work on dewberry, on, you know, cross vine, on any invasive vine that you're dealing with.
Okay. Some of the vines are like 2 inches thick.
Yeah, those are actually easier to kill than the little ones, because that stump of vine killer will get sucked down and you have a big target to paint. So if you don't want to take the whole vine down, what also we've done is cut off like a 2-inch section and then just painted the lower one, the one with the roots.
Okay.
Because obviously the top's going to die if you cut off the top.
Yeah, and
yes. The
other thing is I have poison ivy growing in one section of my yard. And I just patrol that area and I just look for it, and every time I see it come up I just snip it with long-handled pruners.
Yeah.
But I know what it looks like, and it just keeps coming up from seed, I don't know what from. I don't know where the stump is, but I know what it looks like, and I just stay on top of it too.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have a name for the vine and brush killer?
You know, that's it, actually.
Easy enough.
Yeah. It's I don't remember what chemical is in it, but it makes like a paste. It's not a spray. It's going to have a little nozzle, a funnel at the end of it. A cone. A cone-shaped application tip. It's not going to have a spray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm sorry you're having to deal with poison ivy. That's the worst. So, Anita, thank you so much for being here, and
it was
a great job.
Fun, as always, Dan.
Well,
you do a great job.
That's another Home Show Garden Pros in the books. Tom Tynan will be on here in a little bit, and we're happy to hear from him.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home. Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan, on Home Show Radio.
You've got good advice for people, and I appreciate it.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
At homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.